I just want to say that you are officially on island time. So do me a favor and chillax. Just chill out. Jackie, if you need to move your chair over, honey, so you can see, because I know you're the tallest person in the room. And, you know, we're going to have a lot of stuff going on this weekend, a lot of great Bible, a lot of free time to see the island. But just chill. Everything you could think of went wrong today for me. I even had somebody hit my car in the parking lot. And you know what? I don't care. I wrote them a note telling them to have a nice evening. See, why do we want to get upset over stuff that it's just stuff, right? So let's just chillax. We're just going to have a good time together. We're going to meet some new people. We're going to get together with some old friends. And what did I say? Unbuckle your problems and feel free to roam about the cabin of God's love, because there's no limits. So, does anybody in here know what the first and great commandment is? Raise your hand if you know. And the first and great commandment is one thing: love, love, love. Love God, love yourself, love your neighbor. So look around the room and you will see that we have exactly the group that God knew would be here right now before the foundation of the world. Why? Because he's God. I'm learning how to do part of what I'm doing up here right now as we're moving. So, the thing is, God in the beginning, he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. And like Tina so beautifully put it earlier, I mean, this whole weekend is about one thing: love. And, you know, with my day going wacky McQuacky, if I can love in spite of that, I shouldn't be up here talking about it. Because if you can't do it, shut up. Do it, then teach it, right? So, love, the hallmark of love is giving and receiving. And before I even get into the teaching, there's one person in this room that had they not given unconditionally, we would not be sitting here right now. And that is the Vice President of Light of Christ Board of Directors, Ron, stand up. Ron Arns. This guy went above and beyond, and just, I'm telling you, he is one of those unsung heroes, you know, that I'm out front flapping my gums. But Ron is one of these people that stuck around for 40 years and just been faithful. So, Ron, thank you so much. I appreciate you, man. So what we're going to do here is we're going to do some groundwork in our mind to deepen, you know, rooted and grounded. You know, when you see a tree, the root system is twice as big as the canopy. So we got to get rooted and grounded in God's love so that we are solid. So when somebody runs into your car and they're in their 80s and they're saying, "We're so sorry we hit your car," that you don't go, "What?" You just say, look, you hug them, you get the information, and you just chill out. You can chillax. You can go on from there. So we're going to talk about opening ourselves up to love. And the first thing I want to talk about is taking the governor off your mind. And when I say governor, I'm not talking about politics. When I was a kid, Sue, you got my mini bike? That happened. There we go. That's what I had when I was 12 years old, and I was a holy terror, and mother couldn't figure out why I was wearing out my kids every 2 months. So when I had my mini bike, I wanted it to go faster. And so my dad, Papa Joe, who knew a lot about a lot, he told me my little Briggs & Stratton engine there had something called a governor on it, a device to keep the speed down. Well, I didn't like that one bit. That didn't float with me. So the next day I went into our big four-car garage, huge place, every tool you could think of because my dad sold tools. And I went to work and I turned the governor completely off. So I had it jacked up so I could crank it, see the rear wheel, and boy, that thing run, run, run. And my juices were flowing. So now I just needed to test it. So I thought, my 12-year-old brother, no, my 8-year-old brother, I was 12, he was 8. I said, my 8-year-old brother, I think he'd make a pretty good test pilot. So I called him out to the garage because, look, when this happened, somebody had to observe, right? And that was me, Big Sis. So I kind of wondered if that's how Eva Knieva got started, but that's another thing. So here's a very bad Polaroid of me and my brother TK, who still likes me. And I took the mini bike to the backyard and called him over, and I cranked it, and I was standing in front holding it, and that thing was run vroom. He gets on the bike, I step out of the way, and my little brother shoots across the yard in about 3 seconds, and we had a big yard, you could play football back there, and went smack into a sapling in the middle of the hedges. The mini bike went up, did a backflip, my brother did a flip, and went to the right-hand side. So he was knocked out, cold. So I took off running across the yard like a banshee to check on my brother. No. I went to check on my bike. I figured, he's knocked out. He ain't going anywhere. So when he finally came to, I said, if he told anybody about what we'd done out there, I was going to give him a free trip to the moon. And I say this because that was not a loving thing to do. That was not one love, one heart. I was not the greatest big sister. We still love each other, but Tom went through a lot of heck with me. And so really the two morals to the mini bike story are, number one, I was walking in self-interest, totally self-interest at 12. And number two, I never did turn that governor back down. I just learned how to get on that bike and ride it wide open. And that's the goal this weekend. We want to get it wide open to God's love. And within a year, I had traded up to a Honda 50. About a year later, I had a Bultaco 250. And by the time I got my last motorcycle, it was a Harley Fat Boy, dark green, 1,450 cc's. If you don't know anything about motorcycles, that's a fast motorcycle. It would go 0 to 60 in 3.5 seconds. And you know what? I never rode that full blast because I may be stupid, but I'm not crazy. So, but what I learned, how this applies to this teaching, is on this Harley Fat Boy, there was always more in the tank. Always more in the tank, and that's God. He can bless Katina, he can bless Michelle, he can bless me, he can bless Dan, and he's still got enough for everybody in the world to get blessed. You know why? Because that's how God Almighty rolls, baby. That's how our Papa rolls. So we're here to take the governor off our heart, off our mind, and just see how many ways God can love us this weekend. In Jeremiah chapter 31, and you can turn to these verses or just listen, he said, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. Folks, we didn't draw God to us. He drew us to him. In 1 John 4, 7 through 8, it says, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. God showed his love for us by giving us Jesus Christ, because what are you going to give that's bigger than Jesus? That's why I brought this painting I did a few years ago. It's called A Mother's Heart, because this is what God went through when he gave his obedient son. It broke his heart. And yet he didn't make Jesus do this. Jesus volunteered out of what?
Love.
So the very essence of our Father is pure, 100% unadulterated love. Next slide. And the love we're talking about this weekend, it's not fleshly love. It's not puppy love, which is eros. I think we went one too far, Sue. Should be one on agape. Keep going down, maybe it's in there. There it is. The love we're talking about this weekend is not eros, which is fleshly love, or brotherly love, which is phileo, which means you scratch my back, I scratch yours. It's quid pro quo. We have a city in America named Philadelphia, which is the city of what? Brotherly love. We are going to be talking about agape love, which comes only by having the Spirit of God living within you. If you don't have the Spirit in you, you don't have the capacity to agape. That's pretty amazing. So, I think after Christ laid down his life for us, the greatest parable, obviously Jesus was the greatest love of all, but the greatest parable in the Bible about love is one called, unfortunately, the prodigal son, because it should be called the forgiving father. This kid went out and he wasted, he demanded his inheritance. He went out and wasted it with party, riotous living, and when he blew all his cash, guess what? All the friends that were around him when he had all the do-re-mi, where were they? Nowhere to be seen. So he ends up feeding the pigs. And when you fed the pigs, you got to eat what the pigs ate. So we sit here in our human mind and we think, if that was my son, I would be ticked off. I'd be thinking of ways I could punish him. You know, how could he be so stupid to blow it? What was the father doing? He was out in the field searching for his boy. And you know what happened? Because the son had realized he blew it. And that he was just going to ask his dad, let me be a servant. And his dad said, no way, he wouldn't even hear you. He said, you're a son. Here's the robe. Here's the sandals. And you know what the father did? And this always kind of blows my mind. He threw him a party. I mean, here this kid had just been the biggest brat on the planet, and he throws him a party. People, if we can ever wrap our mind around, we are imperfect. But when we realize we're imperfect and we come to God and we've done something really stupid, God has forgiven us before we even ask. Did you know that? Jesus forgave every sin you're ever going to commit 2,000 years ago. So that's why it says in Psalms, when we ask for forgiveness, God casts our sins as far as the east is from the west, and God remembers them no more. Why would we want to remember them? Once we've repented, cut that elephant loose, man. Quit wagging that thing around. And because God is love, we're going to see later on, I think it's Saturday, love thinks no evil. I mean, that's, I'm working on that one really hard. And the thing is, since God thinks no evil, he has never had a bad thought about you, ever. We beat ourselves up, but he doesn't. So in Isaiah chapter 40, it says, how cool is it that the same God who created the mountains and the oceans and the galaxies looked at you and thought the world needed one of you too? Nobody's here by mistake. Nobody's here by accident. And God says in Isaiah 40, who hath measured the oceans in the hollow of his hand and meted out the heavens with a span. You know what a span is? It's from here to here. This is how, they can't find the end of the galaxies. This is a figure of speech that God puts the whole galaxy between his thumb and pinky. So how big is our God? You tell me. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord? I love this. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, has taught him? I laugh every time I see that, because who's taught God anything? Nobody, and we never will. So in 2 Samuel chapter 7, it says, how great you are, O sovereign Lord. There is no one like you. We have never even heard of another God like you. And back then, they had tens of dozens of gods. They had gods for fertility and gods for gardens, gods for plants and meat, all kind of stuff. There's only one big kahuna, as they say in Hawaii. Hawaii is like, who's the biggest of the big? That's the big kahuna. That's our Jehovah. That's our Yahweh. So if God is bigger than the universe, how big is his love? Just, here's the scientist in me. If he's bigger than the universe, how big is his love? Anybody? Class? Thank you very much. I need a little participation here. And that's why it says in 1 Corinthians 13:8, love never fails. Why? Because it's got the power of the universe behind it. People talk about faith. I want more faith. Look, you don't need more faith. We've got the faith of Jesus Christ. All we got to do is use the faith. And you know why more people don't use the faith? They don't believe God loves them. It's not a faith problem, people. It's a love problem. You know, so we go around thinking about ourselves like human beings instead of thinking about who we really are, which is spiritual beings. We are not physical people having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual people. We're a new tribe, it says in Peter. We're a new group, a new ethnos. We still walk around in this little earth suit looking like other human beings. But in here, we are 100% different from a natural man because they have no eternal life. They have no Spirit of God living in them. They can fake love. They can emulate it from someone else. But they don't have agape. I mean, do you understand how different you are? You know, people try to do differences about how much money you got or what you look like or blah, blah, blah. We know how the world is trying to tear itself apart. All that is baloney. You know who's different? Children of God versus natural man. Now, that's different. There's a difference because we're going to stay with God for eternity. So, child of God, every one of you, you know what we're riding in life? The Harley Fat Boy. The Harley Fat Boy, baby. And I'm telling you, that'll take the paint off your hide when you go fast enough on that puppy. Because God has this whole universe in the hollow of his hand, and we are wall-to-wall spirit. We don't like have spirit here. A lot of people say, well, you have spirit here around your heart. No, you don't. You have spirit in your hair. You have spirit in your fingernails. You got spirit in your feet. We are wall-to-wall Holy Spirit. So the major part of us, is it flesh and blood? No. What is it, class? It's Holy Spirit, right? So God says in Ephesians 4:15 that he wants us to speak the truth in love so we can grow up into him in all things. So love, ready? Love is like Miracle-Gro for human beings. But we have to decide to love because that's what makes our life blossom. And that's what gives us something to give other people. But love is Miracle-Gro for human beings. And I'm talking not your height. I'm talking your spirit. See, it says we're supposed to exercise our spirit man. Did you know that? And you think, well, how do I exercise your spirit? You know, it can't do push. You exercise it by using it. You exercise it by using it, by tapping into it, by remembering who you are. And you literally, you don't grow spiritually because you're full of it. But you get stronger spiritually. What grows is your strength. I mean, some people work out, man, and they could rip the t-shirt with their biceps. Well, they don't have a different muscle. They don't have a different body. They have just exercised it. And that's the whole deal. That's why we're here on earth. I was talking to somebody today, and they didn't know what God they believed in and blah, blah, blah. And I said, look, just start with love. Just start with asking God, show me your love. And I said, you know what? If I'm dead wrong about what I believe, how am I going to go wrong going through life loving people? I mean, it's a win-win situation. How can you mess up by loving? You can't. So love, my friends, is the greatest superpower in the world. I have a cartoon I'm going to show you on Saturday, but it's Jesus Christ and all the superheroes, you know, Spider-Man and Superman and all of them are sitting around Jesus, and Jesus is looking at all these superheroes from DC and Marvel, and he's saying, and that's how I save the world. See, they think they can't save much. Jesus saved the world, so he's taking them to school, my friend. So the fruit of the Spirit, love, the fruit of the Spirit are like love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith. It's number one because without love, the other fruit goes sour. They're fake. And I loved it when Bob Marley said, there ain't no fooling the Father of creation. You can fake it to people, but you can't fake it to the big dude upstairs. And God doesn't have a problem with me calling him the big dude. He likes me. Oh, matter of fact, he loves me. So Change does not come by doing anything one time. If you play tennis, if you play football, if you play basketball, what do you got to do? Repetition, repetition, repetition. So today when somebody backed into my car and crushed my bumper, and, you know, I just got out and I looked at it, and I said, I can get that fixed. Is it going to take some time to go down the auto body, blah, blah, blah? Yeah, but these people, they were just so lovely. It was an accident, you know? Just chill. Take a chill pill. Job chapter 36. Job chapter 36. This is in the Message, and man, this one just makes you feel like you've got a rocket on your back. In Job 36, 22, it says, God's power is unlimited. Others have praised God for what he has done, so join in with them. Who feels like praising God? Say, praise God.
Praise God.
Give God a hand. All right. Praise the Lord and pass the peanut butter. So, oh, and here it is. Here, see, I said something from the Bible. I even had it in my notes. 1 Timothy chapter 4. It says, for bodily exercise profits a little, but, anybody know the next word? Godliness is profitable unto all things. So use what your daddy gave you. You got it? Use it. So I want to share a poem with you that I drew in 1977. I think I came to Christ in 74, and I came across this old hymn called The Love of God. Can you find it, Susie Q? There you go. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Look at it out there. That's a big ocean. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky across the entire universe. And the cool thing is, when I drew this years ago, I was using a quill pen and I had it on parchment paper. And it really, really sunk into my heart. And when I did this in 77, I remember doing it. I used to sell prints of different things at something called the Rock of Ages. It was a big Christian festival that like 10 or 15,000 people went to. I always had an art booth there. And when I did this that year, it was one of the prints I had. I just remember thinking every time I sold one, it got deeper and deeper. This is my life's pursuit. This is my life's pursuit. I want to share this love with everything that will sit still and listen. I share it with the cashier. I share it with the people at the gas station. I share it with people I know. I share it with people I don't know. I'll be walking down a hall someplace and somebody just stop me and say, can I talk to you? I go, yeah, what do you want to talk about? Well, this is going on in my life and I don't know from Adam's house cat. Because I'm telling you, love, real love, it gives off a vibe. It makes people feel welcome. It makes them feel like you've got some warmth and you actually care about them. A friend of mine and I, we have a big old sign that says, free prayer, Jesus loves you, and we take it to Hope House where the homeless people are. And we just sit at the picnic table, and when the homeless people go by, we just say, do you want to be prayed for? And some of them say no. But you know what? Over half of them not only say yes, but they will start crying or quoting scripture or asking questions. And I make sure when I speak with these homeless people, I touch their hands. And if the Spirit works in me with the women, not with the men, but with the women, sometimes I will just say, do you mind if I give you a hug? And it's like they just melt into my chest. When I came to Christ, I didn't want to touch a person. I didn't want to shake hands with a person. I had been a blackjack dealer, and I actually kind of hated humanity. Because when you're in a club, you see the worst of the worst every night. And when I came to Christ, one of the things I had to do was say, Lord, give me a bigger heart. And it was the most terrifying thing I ever did. Because to have a bigger heart, you got to let your defenses down. Now, homeless people hugging right into my chest. So my motto in life is pretty simple. Let everything you do be done in love. When you're eating a meal, you love God. When you're up here talking, I'm loving you. When I'm out on the streets, I'm trying to put out the vibe. You know, it's like when you go in a yard, you know if a dog is really mean and going to bite you. Or it's just kind of going, rah, rah, and the tail's wagging. Well, I don't even bark, and I don't really wag my tail. But I give off that same vibe as a dog that just wants to love you, wants to lick your face like Blaze, your little Bichon, right? So, love is not always easy, but it's always right. And there's the rub. The world is filled with a lot of shiny objects that can become the focus of our love. And yet God says it's unconditional, and every time we give it out, love is the only thing you can give away and get more of it. Did you know that? Love is the only thing you can give away and get more of it. So that's why I love the Harley example. Mini bike, peg without God. Harley fat boy, peg with God. That's why I love this example, because of bigger and bigger motorcycles. That's what I feel about learning how to love. I feel like it is more exciting and in some ways more challenging. I don't want to say dangerous, but it's electrifying. If you're an adrenaline junkie, nothing is going to get your adrenaline doing like laying hands on somebody and healing them. Talking to somebody and they say, oh, I accept Jesus. That's what, you know, two of the people I grew pot with and a daughter of a mafia don invited me to their apartment and started talking to me about the Bible. And I thought, what on God's green earth are these hippies and a mafia don's daughter doing talking about Jesus? And then they did this thing called they spoke in tongues and interpreted. And I had been reading every book I could get my hands on about every kind of religion you could think of, looking for truth, because I had been raised in a religious school. But you know what? In that school, we never opened a Bible. 8 years. We never opened a Bible. We opened a catechism. So it wasn't until I was 23 that I read the Bible. But I heard these two hippies that I grew pot with and a daughter of a mafia don, literally, in New York City. I went to her house, and it was like a freaking palace. I mean, the living room was about 36 feet tall. And she had an afro. She was Italian, but she had an afro like Angela Davis. So my nickname for Larkin was always, oh, I got my white Angela Davis with me over here. She's my sidekick. So the thing is, we got to grow in love. And to do that, it takes practice. And here's something God showed me when I was working on this sharing. Jesus grew strong in the spirit and in faith and favor with all men. God did not have his son do his first miracle raising Lazarus. You know what God gave Jesus to do, the first miracle? And Jesus was reluctant to do it at first. Anybody know? Change what? Change water into wine. Baby steps. Baby steps. Baby steps. But what was Jesus doing a few years later? A widow is coming out of the town with her dead son on a funeral bier. And what does he stop? Hang on. Didn't know them from Adam's house cat. And goes over, and in that culture, that was her only son. Now, if he died, she was going to be put on the street as a beggar. Because if you had no man to look after you, you were put on the street. How did Jesus know all this? Spirit of God working in him. And he said, hold the fort, hold the fort, hold the fort. Stops the funeral, touches a young man. What happens? Life, 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 life. And that's another thing that love does. It starts talking about the people that are walking in love. They bring more people to you, and you get to tell more people about who? Yourself?
No.
Who?
God.
God and his son, Jesus Christ. That miracles are one of God's billboards, you know. It's miracles say, you know, you're gonna confirm my word with signs following. Because I tell you, I've had people that have told me there is no God, there was no Jesus, and they got real sick. And I went to the hospital, and I ministered to them, and they got cured of cancer, and the test came back with no cancer. Guess who they were calling on the phone? Where's your fellowship? Where's your fellowship? I want what she's got. I want what she's got. So what it is we're doing here, and I'm wrapping up for the first session because we're going to come back for a little bit more. Are you ready to come back a little tiny bit more after this?
Yeah.
Anybody ready for a little tiny taste more? Okay. So what we're doing here is the goal, like Tina said, by revelation, because I didn't talk to her about this, is you're going to learn to lay back on the throttle, man. When you're riding a fast motorcycle, you're kind of leaning back into the wind, and you're feeling it, and you're feeling your oats, you know. We're going to learn to feel the Spirit, the breath of the Spirit, and lay back into God's love. And Jesus is my ride or die buddy. Yay, Jesus. You know what a ride or die buddy is, man? That's the one you count on all the time. Yeah, baby. So like I said, kind of recapping, you can't fake love, folks. It's the real deal. I mean, you either actually got it or you don't. But loving is the most electrifying way you can ever spend your life. I'm telling you, I had plans for my life, and God kind of did a 180. And you know what? I could have never, ever dreamed of the exciting life that God has given me. He has sent me free. Free 99. Anybody know what that is, free 99? He has sent me to Jerusalem. He has sent me all over Europe for a month and a half. He had a sponsor send me for 4 years to art school, and I didn't pay a penny. Those are just some financial miracles I can talk about. He's healed me of cancer. I can't even tell you, and put me in places that I was just scared spitless to be, and he caused me to succeed. Yes, praise the Lord, and pass the peanut butter! So this weekend, we are here to let go and let God, to experience and share. We can start right here and with any of these people. I mean, I met two people I never laid eyes on last night and sat down and talked to them and talked about God. Two men, submariners. I mean, they're not how are you? These are tough dudes, you know. They dug it. They didn't want me to leave. To experience and share God's love, to enjoy the fellowship of the saints, and we've got some more people coming tomorrow, and to join Bob Marley, Hearts and Hands with the Father of Creation. The first thing I do in the morning is think about God, and the last thing I do at night is I thank God for alignment and harmony. If I'm out in left field, pull me back like a little sheep, and I ask him to just put me back in that beam. And I go to sleep with peace on my mind, because you know what? However you go to sleep is how you wake up. And if you go to sleep full of love and full of peace, guess what you're going to wake up with? Full of love and full of peace. If you go to sleep thinking about this thing that happened at work and how am I going to do this? You know what you're going to wake up doing? That's not how you want to wake up, folks. So, look, here's a reality, and hopefully you can see this at this point. Love is your new nature. Love is your new nature. You got it. All we have to do is use it. Love is your true nature. And love always changes things for the better. Look, folks. Everything in life, everything in this journey down here on this planet is just our journey back to love. That's what it's all about. That's why we're here. And I was thinking about this when I was working on this. Every good thing we really do in life, God is the instigator. We're the participator. He puts stuff on our heart. We listen to what that still small voice in time. We do it, and we get blessed. So, we are going to learn to surf, baby. We're going to learn to hang 10. We're going to learn to shoot the curl. We're going to learn to surf the big waves on the ocean of God's love and be a force for good. Oh, add oh to God and it's good. We're going to be oh so good. Romans chapter 12 too, and we'll be talking about this more Saturday, when God says, you know, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect will of God. Basically, when God's saying to do this stuff, to look to him, to change the old way you thought, put on the new, and he says, prove me, he's saying, take my love for a test drive and let me blow your mind. Take my love for a test drive and let me blow. Michelle, you ever had your mind blown by God doing something for him? Tina, you ever had your mind blown?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Sue, you ever had your mind blown? How does it feel?
Incredible.
I like that word. So, folks, this is a little taste of how we set no limits. No limits. Guess who took that photograph? Me. And you know what? I remember being there and I saw a turtle's nest with the eggs and almost got distracted. And God said, I want you to stand right on that boardwalk and take this picture. You can come back to the turtles. And I got it right at that moment when the sun was just blowing you out of the water. So that was by revelation. So we're here to set no limits on God's love, to ask. This prayer was so hard for me to do initially, but I do it every day now, sometimes multiple times. Ask God to give you a bigger heart. Ask God to give you a bigger heart. He will, I promise you. Seek to be put in situations where you can grow in love. Don't shy away. Step into it and see what happens. And have I failed? No, never. A lot. But look, folks, if you know, what if a baby starts walking and they fall and they say, oh, I'll never get up again? How many of them, wouldn't it be terrible to be 40 years old in your diaper and not walking? So we're going to blow it sometimes. We're going to miss the mark. But from every failure, there's a gift. And it helps you know what not to do the next time. Because with God, there's always the gift. There's always a gift. And like anything in life, you know, if we don't believe how much God loves us, nobody can convince us. I can tell you this till Sunday, which is what we're going to do. But if you don't take it to heart and believe it, wah, wah, you're going to be just as unhappy as the people who don't know him. And like anything in life, we get better with practice. So here's the truth. Ready? Anybody want some truth out there? The greatest thing you will ever do in this life is to learn to love and be loved in return. The greatest thing you can do in your life is to learn to love and be loved in return. So, Father, I thank you for your love. May it be our guiding star of our lives now and forever. We ask you right now to make us more and more like Jesus. Give us the heart of Christ. Give us the commitment of Christ. Give us the confidence of Christ that he always did the Father's will because he listened to your voice. So, Father, I thank you for this beautiful group here tonight. I bless you all in this room in the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord is going to make his face to shine upon you. The Lord is going to make you see things this weekend you've never seen before when you open your eyes up to him. In Jesus' name, amen. And we're going to close with a really old song from 1948 by Nat King Cole. And it's called Nature Boy. And just listen to the words, and then we're going to take a short break.